This is the All One Nurse podcast, where we are bridging the gap between the stethoscope and the soul and getting back to the human side of healthcare.
Powered by Riverside.
Did you know that according to the Society for Women's Health Research, that studies revealed that ethnicity, race, and socioeconomic factors are associated with delay in diagnosis, disease severity, and mortality from certain immune conditions? For example, African-American women are 3 times more likely to develop lupus than white women, and often experience more severe symptoms and complications. As we're wrapping up season 2, get ready to be inspired on this episode of the All One Nurse podcast, where I'm thrilled to welcome the incredible Dr. Felicia Harris, DNP, who is a trailblazing family nurse practitioner and the visionary founder of Functionally Balanced Health. Dr. Harris is on a mission to empower Black women battling autoimmune conditions to reclaim their health and vitality. With nearly 15 years of experience, healthcare experience, and a passion for holistic, patient-centered care, she's transforming lives one step at a time. So tune in as we dive into her professional journey, including her groundbreaking approach to functional medicine and her unwavering dedication to making healthcare equitable and accessible. Now, whether you're a healthcare provider, a student, or a patient, this episode is truly for you and definitely for my sisters out there who have experienced their own woes with autoimmune conditions such as lupus, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, and more. So please subscribe if you're not already a subscriber, whether you're following me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. If you're watching me on YouTube, go ahead and click that subscribe button. And be sure to stick around to the end of this episode so that you can discover how to connect with Dr. Harris and what's to come on the podcast for season 3 and more. And also, as a subscriber, you will help support me in getting the podcast out there to more awesome listeners like yourself. Now, without further ado, let's jump right into it.
Hey, Dr. Harris, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. Is it okay if I call you Miss Felicia?
Yes, totally fine.
Awesome. Well, I'm just excited to have you here with me on All One Nurse. And of course, we're going to start out with, who are you? Tell us a little bit about you and your professional journey. When did you first start thinking about nursing?
Okay, yes. Well, first, I want to thank you for having me here. I am excited too. Looking forward to our conversation. I'm Felicia. I am a family nurse practitioner. I'm certified in functional medicine, which I know we'll be touching some on that. How did I get started into nursing? I first was drawn to nursing as a child, seeing my grandfather. My mother's father deal with Alzheimer's and being hospitalized, and seeing like the care that was given by the nurses as we were in the hospitals. And so I was intrigued into knowing more about nursing. That's where it initially started. It continued as I was in school. In my high school, we were fortunate enough to have what we called a medical professions, but it was really different career programs. And so we had one targeted for those interested in the nursing field. We got to actually go to some local hospitals and shadow. We also did some things like, of course, learn medical terminology, learn more about protective equipment. So we got to learn some foundational things, and that continually, you know, just grew my interest into nursing. I got into the program at UAB in Birmingham, graduated from there in 2011, came to Memphis actually at the end of 2011, began working. at the hospital here at Baptist. And I decided that, well, all along, I already knew that I wanted to go back to school. I wanted to, you know, pursue education to become a nurse practitioner. I really wanted to increase access to care, work with those who were underserved. And so I went back to school, completed my doctorate program at UT Health Science Center in 2018. And now I am practicing still as a nurse practitioner, but now venturing more into the area of functional medicine.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. What specialties did you work in when you initially became a nurse?
I was on a CV step-down unit.
Okay.
Later on, I did float some to like med-surg, medical ICU step-down, but the majority of my experience has been on a CV step-down unit.
Okay. You know, I have to ask because for nursing students, as they're coming out, they see that, oh, you have your doctorates, but then it's like, okay, the little details, like what did you do coming as soon as you got your nursing license? Because they're always trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And it's the humble beginnings, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. Now, just jumping right into personal insights, like what are some of the challenges that you faced during your nursing journey from degree to degree? Or is there a specific story that you would like to share?
I had many challenges. Just thinking from the perspective of like a nursing student and wow, how did you get to where you are and getting your doctoral degree? It wasn't easy, right? It definitely wasn't. Even when I first started at UAB, I had an uncle who worked there in a different department, of course, but he was saying their whole goal is to make you or break you your first semester. It's going to be people that don't continue with you. And I heard that more than once. So that first semester, it was challenging, even with my first clinical instructor. Later, I found out it was because she saw something in me. I was the only Black person in that group. The instructor was Asian. She was tough on me, but it was for my benefit. But that first semester was hard. Many tears shed in the shower. But I pushed through. I actually got to my second to last semester of school and in my clinicals. I had another really hard clinical instructor. I'm not sure what was the reason behind that, but she basically told me that she was going to fail me. She was going to fail my clinic. And this must have been my last clinical because we were finishing classes. She said that the only reason why I'm not is you passed your actual didactic. Like course. She wasn't a teacher in our program. I guess she was like a contracted clinical instructor. She was another Black woman. And I, for some reason, I don't know what it was. That to this day, I carry that with me because she did say some hurtful things like that I shouldn't be a nurse. I shouldn't be going on to the next phase. And I carry that with me even to today. When I was about to graduate, we took ATI. I don't know if that's what. Yeah, so we took that. I know I did not really study the first time. The second time it was like, okay, I'll go over the review questions. I failed. But I say everything happens for a reason because I got to really develop a close bond with a friend of mine. We studied, we prayed, we passed that next time and we were able to graduate.
Yes.
We passed our NCLEX on the first try.
Come on.
Yes. So it was some challenges along the way in nursing school. And even after that, when I decided to go back, I said, oh, I'll go to UAB. Myself and a friend that I went to undergrad with applied. She got in and I didn't. And I was like, okay, I wasn't too saddened, but it was like we had planned to do this together. I decided to apply to a program at UT here in Memphis, UT Health Science Center. People were saying it was so hard. You know, I didn't really know much about it, but I got in. Yeah, it's just, you know, pushing through those challenges.
Yes, I'm so glad. I'm sorry that you experienced that, but I'm so glad that we're here talking about it because so many people have that same challenge, face that same obstacle, that one instructor in the program. And some people have failed and don't know why. Like, why? What's the issue? Just to go through something like that. And even for those who may have actually failed, do you give up because somebody told you, I'm not going to pass you?
Right.
Like in your mind, you're like, I know this is not right, but you have no control over the issue other than to do your part, right? Show up on time, get the work done, do your part. Mm-hmm. But when it doesn't work out, do you give up as an individual? So I'm so glad that you gave voice to that. Because you're not the only person. When I interviewed Dr. Shante Coleman, she had a professor tell her that she wasn't going to get into the nursing program.
Yeah.
Based off her transcript. You know, and it's like, who says that?
Right. Why would you tell someone that? Why?
So I'm so glad that you brought that up so that someone listening can know, hey, this was, like you said, in your BSN program, right? And then You went on to get your doctorate. So don't let other people tell you what you cannot do. That one nursing program is not the only nursing program out there.
And don't let yourself either talk you away from it too, because like I said, people were saying how the program here at UT Health Science Center was so difficult to get into, and I kind of questioned it for a minute. But then I was like, okay, what harm could it do? Let me at least apply, get everything in. And I had no desire, honestly, to even get a doctorate. That wasn't my plan. My plan was just to, you know, be a nurse practitioner. I'm going to go back to school with my friend and we're going to do this program together. Right.
Yes.
So, it's amazing how things work out.
That's awesome. And I tell people when people tell you what not to do, or they give you their own interpretation of what something's going to be like, I just ask them, so do you have the same character as that person? Do you have the same drive as that person who told you that? And then, you know, when you think about it, you're like, no, I really don't. So who's to say you're going to experience the same thing they experienced? Mm-hmm. You know, so thank you. Jumping right into patient perspective. Tell us more about your patient experiences and whether it's starting out in nursing up until now, you know, getting into functional medicine. Like, just can you share like a pivotal moment or an experience that shaped your approach to patient care?
I can say that I was always really big on preventative healthcare. And I feel like I do go back to my BSN program and doing a community health assessment. We went into a low income. Yeah. Predominantly Black community. And I could see firsthand how they didn't understand just simple education, diet, and exercise, how that could impact your risk for disease or worsen your complications. Yeah. And so I was always big on trying to educate and really understanding, well, what can be done? You know, why is this happening? Why is this, you know, disease even taking place in the body to begin with. My relationship when it comes to patients has always been on trying to educate, be sure that they understand what's going on, even in the hospital setting, explaining That's to good. Them, you know, why is it that they maybe came in and needed these stents to begin with? And this is what the doctor plans on doing. Do you understand what this procedure is? Just being sure that they feel completely, you know, let they completely understand. And if you have any questions, like, ask your doctor. Don't be afraid to ask them, you know, and ask them to explain in a way that you understand. My relationship with patients has always been with that being key. And I didn't realize that until I got into functional medicine and made the connection, because functional medicine is all about why, you know, getting to the root cause. And it does include patients. It does include education, being sure that they understand, being sure that they have a voice in their treatments, in their plans. So that's the connection that I just actually recently made. But that's what I would say.
Awesome. Now, when we talk about functional medicine, because we're going to be talking about autoimmune diseases, how did you end up there?
Yeah. So I knew nothing about functional medicine. It's not really talked about. It's not anything that we learn in our programs as nurses. I will be honest with you. I first learned about functional medicine on social media, and I was interested. There was a nurse that was saying that she was, you know, practicing from a functional medicine approach, and I started doing my own research and learning more about, you know, what is functional medicine and what does this even mean? And so I learned that it's getting to the underlying root cause. That's basically what it is. Answering the question of why does a person have this autoimmune condition, or what contributed to their health conditions? What can we do about it? And again, that just aligned more with that whole prevention, the preventative care that I was drawn to when I was in my BSN program. And I knew always that I wanted to, again, I said this earlier, I wanted to increase access to care, but this was kind of a twist on it where it wasn't increasing just access to care, but really connecting with the person on a deeper level and helping them understand why are they experiencing this, and that there is a way to get better. You know, a lot of people feel like, what else? I have nothing to look forward to. This is my life from here on out, either this or worse. And so just making that connection. So I always knew that I wanted to eventually, although it was like way down the road in my mind, eventually I want to launch my own practice where I could increase access to care. But as I studied functional medicine, of course, that kind of goes against a lot of the traditional medicine practices. I decided that I just will go ahead and start my own practice. I'm not against conventional traditional practice or medicine at all, but it was something that I just felt more aligned with and felt like I would just be more fulfilled with doing. So
awesome. Now, is this something where you have to do one or the other, or do you have that leeway to actually incorporate whatever is needed for the patient?
Yeah. You can actually do whatever is needed. I am not against medication. So, and I guess to make it a little bit more clear, I will explain a little bit more about functional medicine versus like traditional medicine. So traditional medicine is what we're used to when we go to our primary care doctors. And we go and we say we're having XY symptom. And then they say, okay, well, you have this. They label it with this diagnosis. Typically, the treatment is medication. Or maybe, you know, maybe you need a surgery. Maybe you need radiation. Like, these are all traditional medicine approaches. Some people do talk about diet and lifestyle, maybe diet and exercise, but it's very brief. Functional medicine goes more into you're coming with these symptoms. Our goal isn't to label it with the diagnosis. Our goal is to look more at you. What has your life experiences been? What are you eating on a daily basis? What kind of movement are you getting? What's your stress like? What's your sleep like? What toxins are you coming in contact with? Really looking at the whole body and seeing what can we do. Looking at labs too, advanced labs that aren't typically done. And seeing what we can do outside of just medication. So it can vary from person to person. For me, I'm not against medication. I'm still practicing as a nurse practitioner. If I need to prescribe you something, I'm totally okay with that. But my overall goal is trying to work on lifestyle changes.
Oh, that is awesome. So you're basically providing like that holistic care from a preventative standpoint, and basically just our day to day, like you're encouraging individuals to be more mindful about themselves. And actually just being accountable there before you even go take the medication route. And I think sometimes as society, we can get used to the traditional medicine, like, oh, well, my stomach hurt, I'm gonna go to the doctor, they're gonna give me something for it. But I don't change my diet. And it's like, so you just keep having these issues, but you just keep going to the doctor and getting medication to help treat the symptoms. But we don't create the discipline to prevent the issue in the first place. But in that, we a lot of times it comes with the educational piece and the support, because a lot of times they don't know that that support is available.
Right.
They just do not know. And that's what, you know, and I'm just talking about like stomach ulcers or something. But when we come to, when we start talking about autoimmune diseases or autoimmune correction, autoimmune conditions, I know that's a lot more complex. So do you want to just share information on how you help women of color who are more likely to experience autoimmune conditions? And not only that, but they have poor outcomes.
Right. Yes. Autoimmune conditions are on the rise, and they do disproportionately affect Black women. I do work with all women, but I do have a focus on Black women, because often we go to the doctors and, you know, we are dismissed. We can say that we're feeling like XYZ, and they may say, we're looking at your labs and everything looks fine, so there's nothing wrong. Or maybe it's just age related, or it's stress, or are you pain seeking? You know, I even had someone recently tell me they were told that they were a hypochondriac.
Wow.
When someone comes to me, not only do we focus on those lifestyle things that we just discussed, but also we look at labs from a different lens. So we can look at your routine labs that you've done with your primary care doctor, where they may say everything looks normal. We may say there is a concern, like this result is trending a little bit higher than we would want it to be. You are at higher risk for, I'll just use diabetes as an example. Your A1C may not be at the range of pre-diabetes. It can be 5.6, and we can be saying there, that's a red flag for us. We need to start addressing some things. We not only look at those labs, we look deeper. A lot of people in functional medicine talk about gut health, how gut health is so important. Gut health means, looks at multiple things. It looks at your balance of your good and bad bacteria. It looks at the inflammation in your gut. As it relates to women who have autoimmune conditions, 70 to 80% of our immune system is within the gut. And so when we have things going on in the gut, it can impact our immune system. It can lead to those flares, that inflammation, all the other symptoms that people can experience, brain fog or digestive issues, joint pain, all those common issues can come into play when our gut health isn't addressed. So gut health is huge when someone comes to me with an autoimmune condition. Again, looking at maybe it's toxins that's playing a role. Maybe it's you're not having the efficient, you don't have the proper nutrients. So you're nutrient deficient and you need these specific nutrients. There's a number of tests that we do in functional medicine that can tell us so much more that can help get to that root cause.
That is very insightful, especially when you're talking about gut health. When you say that
system,
your immune system is affected by your gut health.
It's in the
70 to 80% is, man, that I never thought of it like that. But, you know, we always hear the saying, you are what you eat. Right. But you really can affect yourself with what you eat. Just being honest. So this has really given me a different perspective on medicine itself. Well, dealing with functional medicine, because this is my first time hearing about it. When I actually looked into your LinkedIn, where we connected at, and just kind of read about it, and just reading your profile, I was just like, I've got to interview her, because people need to know that this is a thing and I can learn more about it, right? So that we can kind of know what our options are.
Right.
What our options are, and to improve our quality of life without depending on traditional medicine. And I'm very big on preventative care. If we can prevent ourselves from having issues that are preventable, then let's do that to the best of our ability. But we have to educate and support others. And as nurses, we have the ability to, like you said, when you were talking to patients in CV step down, it's just a matter of supporting them in a way like, hey, do you understand your condition? Do you understand what the stents are? Do you understand what these medications do? So that they'll be more likely to actually take the medicine, to actually follow their plan of care, because you make sure that they truly understand what is going on with them at this time. Thank you for sharing that. Now, what advice would you give to patients advocating for themselves in a healthcare system that sometimes just feels overwhelming, especially when you're talking about women with autoimmune conditions and they don't understand what they may have, and then the healthcare provider is dismissive?
I would tell them that they have the ability to go elsewhere. If they are trying to advocate for themselves and they're being met by a doctor who's dismissive and it's just overwhelming to them, they're not sure what's going on in their body, but they know it's something like, we know our bodies, right? We live in our bodies. We know our bodies. We know something is off. We just don't know what it is. And so when you're going to someone and trying to express that to them, but they aren't really listening, they're just looking at labs and saying your labs are okay, but obviously your labs aren't going along with how you're feeling in your body. There's something going on. You're not making it up. You're not crazy. This doesn't mean you need to go seek a mental health provider, but maybe you do need to seek care elsewhere, maybe another traditional medicine doctor, maybe seeking alternatives like functional medicine, having someone provide the support that you need and just listening, like you deserve that. So don't be afraid to seek care elsewhere, even ask for a referral. Maybe you're still wanting to work with that primary care doctor, but asking them, you know, can I be referred to, you know, some people say they may ask for a rheumatology referral, but be met with resistance. Or maybe even ask them, what do you feel about me seeing a holistic provider or a functional medicine provider, or just seeking that provider, you know, on your own. I just wouldn't give up. Know that you're not alone. It's other people that are experiencing the same things. There are answers. Sometimes that takes a little bit of work to dig deeper and see what's at the root of that, but just know that there are options, other options, where you don't have to just take that one doctor's opinion.
Thank you. That's some good advice. Basically, don't give up when that first person says that they don't believe you. Keep having that conversation with healthcare providers. I think that's what I'm hearing you say, like keep the conversation going. Don't think you're crazy, because again, you know your body. You know your body. When it comes to your practice, functionally balanced health, could you tell us, like, what is the core mission of your practice?
So the mission of my practice is to help women, specifically Black women who are suffering with autoimmune-like symptoms, whether they have a diagnosis or not, really understand what's going on in their body, give them answers to what's going on, provide them with relief, and help them get back to a life that they love, all by addressing the root cause. So that's my overall mission.
Okay. And when we talk about autoimmune conditions, could you just name some for our listeners?
Yeah, some common autoimmune conditions that many may have heard of are things like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, MS, type 1 diabetes. Let's see what else. Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. Those I feel like are common conditions that people may have heard of and didn't even know that those are autoimmune type conditions.
Yes. And one thing I do appreciate and I don't think about is when you look at studies, like you said, like one, women experience autoimmune conditions at a disproportionate rate, as well as Black women on top of that experience autoimmune conditions at a disproportionate rate. And then when you take into account, when I was looking at some of like the factors, you know, social determinants of health and their environment, like their environment with chronic stress, just things that are hard on the body that I believe that sometimes we can label as like normal.
Right.
Like it's just always been that way. Always been exposed to just like stressful situations. I mean, I always say, you know, that term strong Black woman, like at this mm-hmm. point, I don't want to be strong right. to the extent that my body is stressed out. So what are your takes on that?
Yeah, often as Black women, we carry our families on our shoulders a lot of the time. We feel like it's normal. We can be under a lot of stress, caring for our families, going to work, caring for our parents, other people in our extended family, feeling like we have to do more than our colleagues at our job because we are a minority in the workplace, and that comes with stress, different hormonal changes in our life that we just don't understand, which can be stressful as well. So we can think, oh, this is all just part of life, but it's really impacting you on a deeper level. Even the stress that comes with systemic racism, traumas that you may have even experienced as a child that you don't even realize was a real trauma and how it's impacting you. You may have seen like fights amongst your parents, and that was a trauma that you've held on to, and your body is in a state of chronic stress and it's not going to heal properly like it needs to. It's on high alert. It's trying to protect you because it feels like you're in a stressful state. And when it's in that state, you're not properly digesting. You're not healing like you need to. So yes, for specifically Black women, I think we are at higher risk because of just stress we come in contact with on a daily basis. And those social determinants as well. A lot of times we may not have access to healthier foods, maybe like processed foods or fast foods are our only option. And we have limited whole foods, limited foods that are less inflammatory, limited parks in our neighborhood where we can go out and get that fresh air, get that sunshine, get that movement. So all those things really do play a big part for Black women and autoimmunity.
Thank you for sharing that. That's very insightful. Is there something you would like to say more in regards to the lifestyle factors and developing or managing autoimmune conditions?
I know. Just think about genetics. Genetics is huge as it relates to autoimmune conditions, but it's much more than genetics. We can have the genes, but we can turn off certain genes by our lifestyle. So a lot of times people in the functional medicine space say that genetics loads the gun, but your environment or your lifestyle pulls the trigger. And so again, that just emphasizes some of the things we just spoke on, talked about, with lifestyle being such a huge factor. Like, it's not just, oh, I'm going to have this because my mom did. You can adjust your lifestyle and not have this condition that your mom had. So lifestyle is huge.
You said genetics load the gun mm-hmm. and your lifestyle pulls the trigger. Mm-hmm. That's mind blowing. That's a good way to, that's a good perspective to understand it. Because sometimes we're just like, oh, well, this has always been my family. And it don't have to, like, we can actually break that cycle by changing our own lifestyle. Thank you for sharing that. Now, what key lessons have you learned from your advocacy work that you'd like to share with aspiring nurses or healthcare providers?
I would say listening to patients is key. So as a person that's a patient advocate, as a nurse, listening to those people that you come in contact with, because oftentimes they do feel unheard. Even if it's a few minutes, just really listening to them and their story can make a world of a difference. So that's the one thing that I would say. It's not just about also saying, okay, we're so quick to say, okay, this is what their symptoms are, especially those who are nurse practitioners, right? We're trying to really diagnose. But a lot of times we can miss so much of the bigger picture, so much of the person's lived experiences and how that is impacting their health because we're not truly listening to their full story. So again, I would say listening is a big part.
Totally agree. And a lot of times the best assessment, and I say this about just bedside care, the best assessment is not what you actually assessed, but actually what you heard the patient say. So a lot of times you can do your head to toe assessment, which is a good baseline for taking care of a patient safely, right? Having a baseline for them. But also, like, what did you hear that patient say? When you ask the right questions, when you create the dialogue, a lot of times patients will tell you how they ended up where they're at. And they may be there, like, with one condition, like a flare-up of something. But then you realize out of the conversation and just creating dialogue in a safe space, they may say, oh, I just lost my son last month. And then... and then my brother died a week later. Like, and then you're like, oh my God, all this stress. And they're here for this one thing. And it's like, okay, we need to treat this one thing. But no, we got to go back. They need to some help with the grief process. So that it doesn't come out inappropriately physically with their bodies. And so just looking at the whole patient. So I like that. Listen, that is that's a big thing. We have to listen to our patients and be willing to be open to ask the questions, to want to know. Like, you have to go in with the intentionality, right? And so with functional balance health, is there, what other services do you provide that you would like to share here on the podcast?
So at Functionally Balanced Health, my services are all virtual throughout the state of Tennessee and Florida. So what I provide as far as functional medicine is one-on-one services. I have specific programs and everything is really tailored to the person that I'm meeting with. And so typically I do offer a free consultation to where I can learn more about you. What are you going through? What are you hoping to achieve? Or what are your goals and how we will work together? And then together we would decide which program would fit your goals. So I do offer that. I also offer locally in the Memphis area, mobile services, whether it's mobile IV, nutrient IV, or injections, like vitamin shots. So things like B12 or vitamin D. So shots here locally, if it's Memphis or surrounding areas. Those are the things that I'm offering as of now.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Now, is there anything else that you would like for listeners to take away from this conversation today?
Yes, that when we already spoke about you knowing your body, you having options, you advocating for yourself, and just knowing how essential it is to dig deeper at the underlying root causes. You can find out a lot by doing that. I know we spoke briefly about gut health, and some people think it's just diet, but it also tells us about the bacteria in your gut. Our bacteria, the good and bad bacteria, can impact our health in a number of ways. It tells us about inflammation there. It tells us quite a bit. So I use that again, although I mentioned there being several testing that we can do. I mentioned that one again because it's big in the functional medicine space. Sometimes it may require you doing some advanced testing, speaking with a functional medicine practitioner. Just knowing that this does not have to be the end. There are ways to get more answers. Find support and just continue to work towards getting answers and getting relief.
Okay. Thank you. Now, it's something that you made me think about when you mentioned that with functional medicine. With functional medicine, what are some misconceptions that you want to dispel?
Functional medicine, some people feel like if you're someone that practices functional medicine, you are against giving any kind of like regular medications. That's not true. We're just pro root cause. So our goal is just getting to the root cause. Some people feel like functional medicine isn't science-based. That's not true. It definitely is science-based. I fail to say that I'm also autoimmune paleo, which is a specific type of diet. So I'm a certified autoimmune paleo coach. And even in my training for that certification, we look at studies and we look at research studies that have shown, patients with this autoimmune condition implemented this diet for X number of times. This is the way they responded. They had less flares, less pain. And so it is science-based. I just like people to know that as well. It's science-based also. We're looking at labs. Some people feel like all you do is just get supplements. And yes, I will give you supplements if needed, but my overall goal is to address the root cause. So where you may not need these supplements and you may not need as many medications, I can't guarantee that functional medicine will get you out off of all your meds, but I can say, at least for me, my goal is to work with you to get answers and do what's best for you. So overall, those are the things I would say. It's science-based. It's not just giving medications or just replacing your medications with supplements. Yeah, and there are answers.
Awesome. Now, when we talk about autoimmune conditions and just people feeling like they know their body, what are some of the things that women may start to feel? And they're just like, I'm just not who I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of those signs and symptoms? Like somebody was listening in right now and they're like, oh my God, I feel like they're talking about me. But what are some signs and symptoms that could really validate that, hey, this may be something that may be autoimmune going on with them?
Yeah, something definitely worth looking into. So there are a number of symptoms depending on which tissues in your body is being impacted by your immune system. That what determines the type of autoimmune condition you have. But some common symptoms that are experienced in multiple conditions, one is fatigue, and not just tired, you know, from our typical day to day, but just extreme exhaustion. Like, I don't want to do anything but go home, get in the bed. People may say that you're just lazy. They don't understand just how exhausted you are. So that is one key. Some people may have joint pains. Some people may have, like, I just can't think clearly. I can't get my words out. I can't remember what I was about to say or what I was about to do. So may have that brain fog. Inflammation can be in your gut, but then spread systemically, and you can have inflammation in the brain and it causes brain fog. Some people may have digestive issues like bloating or constipation or just a lot of gas. You might lose some hair, might be losing hair and just not sure what's going on. Why am I losing all of this hair? Those are just some things. You might have some challenges with your weight, maintaining your weight. And there's just a number of things, hormonal imbalances as well. So,
thank you. I want to make sure that I cover some of the things that patients may actually, like the risk factors or, you know, the signs and symptoms, so that I can make, because I'll get off of this interview and I'm like, I didn't even ask about that. So I just wanted to make sure we kind of cover those things as well, so that we could like bring it around full circle for the person who's listening in, whether they are a student, an aspiring nurse, or a patient or a family member, because, you know, even though, you know, somebody may know someone who has this autoimmune condition, right? And I've just heard someone say that, you know, they just lost someone to an autoimmune condition. And it just breaks my heart, because I just think about how individuals that do not have the support, do not know the resources that are out there, like functional medicine, and they succumb to the disease or the condition, but there was actually support out there that they don't have to just deal with it. They don't have to just deal with it and say, oh, well, I have lupus and that's that. And so they deal with these flare-ups and it's because I have lupus. But it's like, no, there are ways to help manage, right? And go from there, which I'm not a specialist, but you know, just letting people know, like, they do not have to succumb to the condition itself, but actually thrive, continue to live and continue to thrive in spite of. So I think it's very awesome what you're doing. And I am just so grateful that you were willing to take the time to get on All One Nurse podcast and just share your knowledge and share your experience as well, your professional journey. Because I want other awesome individuals to tune in and know that they're not alone, regardless of what their journey may be, but just to learn about your journey, to know like, hey, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Because, and here you are, and you are just supporting a group of individuals who need it.
I do have family that have autoimmune conditions. I have some close friends. Really, one of my closest friends has ankylosing spondylitis. I didn't mention that as an autoimmune condition, but seeing some things that they experienced as it relates to the providers that they saw and just wanting answers and feeling like there was nothing else that could be done, very young, and they're like mid-30s, been dealing with these issues or symptoms for years and not having an answer or a specific diagnosis. It took a long time for that diagnosis to come. And a lot of, you know, pain, sleepless nights, just questioning, feeling like I'm less than, this was a male, so feeling like I can't do things that other males or like physical activities that other that people would assume a man to do. Seeing their experience, and then I have several people that I know that has rheumatoid arthritis. I have a few people that I know that have lupus, and I had a cousin that had MS. So their experiences did play a part too in me choosing to go into focusing on autoimmunity. Like the whole functional medicine was online, but looking at what do I really want to focus in on as it relates to autoimmunity, it came from seeing their experiences because I don't have an autoimmune condition myself. But yes. And can I say one more thing? I'm so sorry.
Yes.
No, I just wanted to say that, you were talking about, you know, people passing away from their autoimmune condition. Autoimmune conditions are very complex. They are very serious. They can affect, like I think you mentioned lupus, that can affect every organ in your body, your heart, your kidneys. I mean, they are very serious conditions. Again, I think I said this already. I never will tell someone not to take their medications. To see the specialist that they're seeing. I even encourage people to continue working with their primary care doctors. And I'm more than happy to write a letter and explain who I am and what we're doing and maybe asking, you know, if they mind doing this test or not, or like just staying in communication with them. But if you're someone that's considering functional medicine, but you feel like you have all these other complications and you're seeing your specialist, you're seeing your rheumatologist, or maybe you have a kidney specialist that you're seeing if you're having lupus nephritis, or maybe you have Hashimoto's. That's another condition I didn't mention that affects your thyroid. So maybe you're seeing an endocrinologist and you just feel like I need to still see these doctors. By all means, I welcome you, you know, to see those, but still send someone that can look at the full picture, because that person is just looking at your thyroid.
Yep.
Or that person is just looking at your kidneys, you know, working together collaboratively, you know, that's something that you would like people to do more. But yeah, just still being open to more holistic approaches and even functional medicine, even if you're seeing those specialists. So I'm sorry. I just thought about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because sometimes people just want to, I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, well, I don't want to take these medications anyway, right? I'm just going to take supplements. Right. And then they mess around and get on TikTok, and then they say this supplement works for XYZ. Right. And so they stop taking the medication prescribed to them. So no, definitely do not do that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad you did mention that. I'm glad you mentioned that. And when you were speaking on just all that you did, like in a holistic standpoint, and knowing that individuals still need to, that they may still need to take traditional medicine and all that. I was going to ask, I had thought to ask you about how do you collaborate with other providers? But then you just mentioned that you'll write a letter, because I do know that when you're trying to look at a patient holistically, and I can only imagine being a provider, right? Because when I'm nursing at the bedside or was nursing, it's like I could just have the conversation as y'all are all coming by and just saying, hey, can we get the patient this? Because I'm kind of like that focal point because I'm taking care of the patient for the day. But as a provider who wants to improve that patient's quality of life from a holistic standpoint, you have to collaborate. What has your experience been like with collaborating with other providers?
Yes. So I have collaborated I would say it was been collaboration just recently with the patient that I'm working with, wrote out a letter. I was telling her, you know, there was concern from my standpoint of a certain condition, and I was requesting her doctor to do some imaging to look for this condition to rule it out. And she was very, of course, nervous, scared to go and talk to the doctor or even bring that question up, unsure how she would be received by the doctor. So I wrote a letter explaining who I was and how I'm working with this patient. Definitely appreciative of this doctor for caring for this patient. And I recommend she continue to work with you so you don't feel like I'm coming in and trying to step on your feet, right? And take your patient. But we're working together, kind of looking at the whole body. And this is just something that crossed our minds, and we just want to be sure that this isn't something that's leading to her symptoms that she's been suffering with for years. Do you mind like doing this test to look for this? This is the reason why I'm concerned for this, like really explaining it. The patient took the letter, and she was in the waiting room, said she was just taking deep breaths and praying and not sure how she would be received, but it turned out really good. It turned out good, actually. She presented the letter, and she was saying how she was glad she had the letter because she wouldn't be able to remember the specific condition we were looking for. So she had the letter, and they read it, and they were very open, and they agreed, and they did the testing. So, that's just an example of how I would collaborate with their doctor. Mm-hmm.
And that's advocacy at its best. Like, that is you advocating for the patient to advocate for themselves. Like you said, it's not about I'm trying to take your patients. It's just about getting what's needed for the patient. I just love your role. And I think that is awesome that you even got on here to just share it. Thank you so much. Now, how can my listeners connect with you, those who may need your services?
Yes, you can connect with me by visiting my website, which is www.functionallybalancedhealth.com. You can connect with me on that website. Once you go to the website, a pop-up is going to open where you can sign up for my newsletter. That way you can stay connected, get tips from me, learn about any offers that I have. But if you would also like to talk with me, across the top banner on the right side, if you click on book now, you'll be taken to a page where you can book a free consult. Anyone in the state of Tennessee or Florida, I'm able to work with. I'm still practicing as a nurse practitioner, and so that's why I'm limited to specific states. And so that is the way you can connect with me. You can connect with me on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Functionally Balanced Health. Yeah. And I would love to connect with you and talk about how we could work together.
Thank you so much. And I will also drop these details in the description below in the podcast. So definitely check that out so that you can connect with Dr. Harris. Thank you so much, Ms. Felicia.
Thank you. For just Thank
getting
you.
On here. Yes. Now that's a wrap on this insightful episode of All One Nurse. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Harris as we dove into the world of autoimmune conditions, the impact that they have, especially on Black women, and how functional medicine can provide a fresh perspective on healing. Now, Dr. Felicia Harris shared her patient-centered approach, emphasizing the importance of listening, advocating, and truly understanding the body's unique needs. And if you'd like to connect with Dr. Harris and learn more about her work, then make sure to check out the details in the episode description below. Okay? Now, everything you need is right there, especially how to connect with me, your host, Chanel Tompkins. Now, before I go, don't forget about the All One Nurse Weekly Meetup, where I am creating a space for new nurses and nursing students every Thursday. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time. And you can get there through my Linktree bio on my social media accounts. You just look for All One Nurse, or you can go to Patreon. Go to Patreon, and Patreon, you'll look for All One Nurse, and then you'll become a free subscriber and go to the chat, and it will have all the details for the Zoom. And so my hopes that I can continue building an incredible community of passionate and dedicated nurses. And I'd just love to see you there, especially as a new nurse or a nursing student. And again, this also marks the end of season two. And what a journey it's been. And I thank you all for rocking with me, learning and growing together. This podcast wouldn't be the same without you. Stay tuned for season three. I have some awesome guests coming up, as well as if you've noticed in this season alone, I have been speaking more myself so that you will get a glimpse or get an idea of who I am and my thought process and my passion for nursing. And so I hope that I've done that and will continue to do that, and how I really want to bring that compassionate piece, that competence piece, that working in excellence piece back into nursing. And that's just a matter of those leadership qualities that we all possess if we choose to use those skills that God has already put in us to walk in the purpose that He has for us. And so as nurses, it is the most trusted profession, and I pray that it stay that way and that we can all walk in integrity and in excellence, because somebody's life is literally on the line. So until next time, let your light shine, and I'll see you in season three. Bye.